Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live from 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live online, iowacatholicradio.com, and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, which we have Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company to thank. We are here at the Mercy Live Up Studios with the webcam firing off live if what you really need is to burn your irises with the sweet sight of bearded, overweight men. It is always available if you want to look at that while you're speaking with us. But like I said, here at the Mercy Live Up Studio in a great, wonderful, frigid Wednesday. Bud, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Had ice crystals forming on my eyelids on the way over, so those are starting to melt. The Iowa winter is here in full force, Bo, and I know when you moved up here to Iowa, this was part of your wish to experience a true sort of north central winter. Now that it's here, are you happy with yourself?
Yeah, well, I was going to say there's a few things with this. On one hand, it's now officially a year that I've been here in Iowa, so that's pretty cool. Another cool thing, a shout out to my wife. This is our 14th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, she's probably still asleep, and it's not like she's going to listen to the show. So I could say, you can tell her that I said like a really wonderful poem or something on air. But as far as the winters go, yes, I've been training for this, Bud. And by training, I mean eating a lot of meat and gaining weight, and it's been great.
Yeah, you tell our students at Mercy College that your Norman blood was built for weathers like this one. When your people were conquering, I don't know, parts of Europe or whatnot, the snow and the wind and that did not bother you all at all.
Not at all. That's why we sailed, the seven seas down to conquer the rest of Europe. You know, you're Nordic-blooded, but you're the kind that hung around because you're not so much of an adventurous conquering type.
We were drinking hot cocoa and just staying by the fireplace at times like these.
Well, after all of that, like Bud and I talking about our ancestors, we should also point out that Mercy College of Health Sciences, which is wonderful and employs us, also underwrites our show. And we both have been kind of getting back into the groove. Everything starts up for reals, as the kids say, next week when we have classes start back up. We are both on vacation, but what's it like gearing back up for the new semester, Bud?
No, this coming Monday is the start of the new semester. And I don't know about you, but even as a student, I always liked those first few days, like taking the cellophane off the textbooks that you wouldn't read. No. I don't know. This week, you and I have been working some on the course shells, the interwebs. And we're not gifted necessarily in that area.
No.
So it's been kind of an uphill climb, but we're almost set for new students, a new spring semester this Monday, January 9th.
Right? Yeah, and we've talked about servant leadership a lot that we both teach, but we're also team teaching bioethics this year. Yeah. And, to Mercy College, professional degrees, things that are going to get you jobs. But like we've said, you'll be able to round out your education, not only talking about servant leadership, but also things like bioethics. Very much looking forward to it. Also very much looking forward to a new show here on Iowa Catholic Radio, Read the Bible in a Year. Fantastic idea. In fact, Bud and I just found out about it today, and we're like, we really want to listen to that. And then they're like, it's on 5 a.m. every day. And we're like, please tell me you're podcasting that. And the answer is yes, they're going to podcast it. So if you're not a 5 a.m. person, you can still hear Gene Wills and Jim Lyons. They're going to podcast and on live every morning, 5 a.m., reading through the Bible in a year. What a fantastic idea.
Yeah, plan to make this 2017 a holy year. And as a central part of that, make it your goal. And Bo and I can kind of journey on this path together with you to read through the Bible this year.
And so I think that's a beautiful way to sort of like seamlessly introduce into our topic today, that we're going to be talking about time and how liturgical time and the church's time bleeds forth, dilates, shapes civic time. And if you don't think that makes a lot of sense, just realize that we have weekends. We'll talk about the importance of even weekends, but we're going to talk about the importance of time. And so if you're going to try to read the Bible in a year, let's talk about how the church shapes the entire year throughout the liturgical and civic calendar. We're going to talk about that and more in a minute. Stick around. We'll be back. This is The Uncommon Good.
Bureau agent Cindy Schulte for underwriting Catholic Women Now. As an authorized independent agent, Cindy's team can provide health insurance options from Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. Cindy Schulte at 1315 50th Street in West Des Moines or on the web at cindyschulte.com. 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Products available at Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, creating commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. Also serving your home needs by creating custom frameless shower doors, mirrors, glass tabletops, and specialty glass. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Design, fabrication, and installation. 515-222-4860. Online at tworiversglass.com. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Serving imaginations since 1992.
We are back with the Uncommon Good. I'm Bo with Bud here. And as always, we are underwritten by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is one of our underwriters that makes this show possible.
Yeah, Bo, at the end of 2016, we had the chance to have breakfast with Joe, who's one of the owners of Cartridge World. And I don't know about you, but it's just great to meet business leaders out in the community who love God, love the church, and are doing great work. I know my wife, Rachel, is a homeschooling mom. She has a lot of printing needs, and I've told her, go to Cartridge World. But if for businesses, home, college students, whatever you need, Cartridge World has affordable ink and toner cartridges to help you in those goals.
801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available, and Cartridge World is committed to recycling environmentally friendly printing. So Cartridge World, thank you again for underwriting our show. So, Bud, we're talking about time. And like I was previewing this with John Leonetti on his show this morning, and I was like, you know, that can sound really boring. Yeah. I was joking around that, you know, all the kids have been talking about time. It's really neat. And that's absolutely not true at all. So how are we going to come out of the gate and convince people that time is not only something we need to talk about, but interesting?
Well, what kind of sparked our idea for today's show is that we're still in Christmastide, right?
Yes.
So I hope our listeners are out there still feasting, still celebrating the
drag that tree off of the corner.
Yep.
Put it back in the house.
Put it back in your house. String those lights.
It's going to catch on fire at this point, but it's worth it.
But, you know, we had a professor in divinity school who said without the worship of God, life is sort of just one thing after another.
Yes.
There's no shape to human existence. We just kind of go from experience to experience. In our own culture, maybe from like one buy to another, one consumer event to another.
There's already Valentine stuff up.
Yeah, right after Christmas.
Yeah.
But the church has shaped the year in such a way that, you know, the goal of life is union with God, to reach the beatific vision, to reach heaven, and enjoy God's blessedness forever. And the liturgy, this kind of organizing of time, is a real path or a guide to that goal. And so the church has given us sort of the easiest way to go about this, right? Or not the easiest, but a straightforward way.
And I think that people might go, well, you guys are talking, your show's about the common good, it's about social teaching. I think time is a really interesting way to just show how far afield we've allowed discussions of spirituality, religion, and worship to go. Time has to be one of the most social realities there is. Sure, you have personal time, like you've watched a movie, let's say the prequels of Star Wars or something, and you've gone, has this been going on for 8 hours or a week? This is terrible. And then you've also had wonderful times, say, watching the Big 12 outperform the Big 10 in the bowl season, like,
easy,
by leaps and bounds.
Easy.
And just say that. And you can go, wow, none of this lasted long enough. I would have loved to watch Oklahoma State destroy Colorado for 2 more hours. But at any rate, be that as it may, the idea is personal time really does seem to just really context dependent. But time itself, as far as a measurement or as an understanding of common experience, few things are more public in nature than time. So when we think about calendars or the fact that we all are in a time zone, those, you know, it might seem like arbitrary things or actually things that are like just are sort of natural and we can't think about them. But people need to realize that when it came to things like setting clocks at the same time, how much that organized society. The same professor, I think, in Div School made the point that one of the most transformative things in the modern world was a clock, because then people could say, you need to start this service at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, before you'd go like, okay, well, you're coming on Wednesday, so three suns from now or whatever. And then you might be there whenever. But with the invention of the clock, you could like bill hours and things like this. So time is not only not boring, it's also just not private. It's very public.
Well, God, through the Catholic Church, has given us so many gifts. And, Bo, you and I have talked about this some, but when it seems like as Christians we drop some of those things, sort of drop the ball, there's this vacuum that's created, and the culture fills those things in. So you think about something like confession and how important that's been in so many saints' spiritual development. As that has waned a little bit for various factors, now you've got Dr. Phil and Oprah, and you turn on the television, and you see all these individuals basically sort of telling their lives to an expert, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same way when we think about the liturgical year. It's so important to integrate this into our families' lives and to teach our children the way that the church shapes time. And as we've seen this wane a little bit, I mean, think about things like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, All Hallows Eve. You know, these have become huge markers for our culture, but they're sort of devoid. They're not directed towards the worship of God, which is the original sort of justice due to the one who created us. And then even ostensibly Catholic holidays like St. Paddy's Day or, again, Halloween have become only occasions to party, you know, sort of, I mean, frankly, in a lot of cases, debauchery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no sort of like sacredness where, as Catholics, we combine that fasting and feasting. And feasting is built into our holy days, but it's integrated into our own sanctification and directed towards the worship of God.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud. We're talking about time today. But on that note, I think that another way to talk about this is, you know, we don't have feasting or fasting. Like you said, we have just one unmitigated sort of steamrolling of time. And people, most affluent nation in all of history, maybe, right? Like, you can go get donuts at 3 in the morning. I would love to go in a time machine and, like, tell people in 900, like, don't worry, in about a century. Anyway,
my point, know that 3 a.m. craving?
Yeah, that 3 a.m. craving where you want, like, fried terrible food. Don't worry, humanity comes up with it. But my point being is, you know, there's all this anxiety and exhaustion because there's no warp and weft, there's no contours to time anymore. I actually think about a very odd passage in the Gospels where Jesus is talking about the people of this age are like children in the marketplace. You know, they asked, I'm going to mess it up here, but the idea is like, you asked why we were mourning and you were mad at us for mourning, yeah. And then we were happy and you were mad at us for being happy. And then Jesus says, but wisdom knows her children. And the idea of this passage is that there's a time to feast and a time to fast. This comes from the Old Testament as well. And if you miss these sort of contours, what you're going to do is just wear the human body down and the human mind down. This is why we sleep, for instance. They point out that it might not even be physically necessary to sleep, but your brain needs it. Mm. And the same thing with the week, right? If we don't have weekends, which of course weekends come from the people of Israel and the church, plenty of other cultures don't have weekends, right? But if there's not sort of different cycles, then time itself becomes just this merciless slave master, yeah, that we all fall prey to.
And for myself, as I've tried to be more intentional about thinking these things and living into the church's calendar, Bo, I've tried to pay attention even to things like, so in our culture, you know, there's kind of this heyday, this lead up to Christmas, and then Christmas itself is a huge celebration. You know, we open a lot of gifts, and then a lot of times afterwards you can feel kind of down, like it's over. You put all this expectation on it, it's here and it's gone. Well, the church in its wisdom marks out 12 days to celebrate Christmas. So we're still in Christmas tide. We're still in it, celebrating the festival of Christmas until actually Friday, where we're going to celebrate the light to the Gentiles, Epiphany, where the Magi first visited our Lord. But I love how the church marks out that space. So in the Gospels, one of the famous passages regarding the Blessed Virgin Mary is that when the angel tells her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, it says that she pondered all of these things in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And in our own lives, we're called to imitate Our Lady by reflecting in the same way. I mean, that reflection is so important. Well, the liturgical year gives us that space. So at Christmas time, it's not like, bam, it's here and gone, and we've placed so much pressure on this one day. But afterwards, if you For instance, if you go to daily mass or just pay attention to the calendar, there's this whole period of time in which we can imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary and ponder these things in our heart. That's so important.
So what we will talk about, I don't think people talk about as much as they used to, is that we talk about octaves of feasts. So the major feasts, especially traditionally, but even now with Christmas and Easter, they have octaves. So on the eighth day, right? Yeah. So 7 days after a Sunday on Easter. So like that's Divine Mercy Sunday now. For Christmas, eighth day afterwards is January 1st, actually. Yeah. And January 1st is Mary Mother of the God, or Mary Mother of God, or the Feast of the Circumcision of Jesus. He was circumcised 8 days afterwards, as all Jewish males were. But this idea that the octave is special, because in a way those 8 days are really one. So Christmas is so awesome, Easter too. They're so awesome that one day isn't enough for them, and they sort of dilate time. So in one way, of course, there's 8 days that happen, but in a real meaningful way, it's all one day. And you see this by the feasts within the 8 days. So St. Stephen, the first martyr, is the 26th. That's where King Wenceslas, that hymn, Good King Wenceslas, looked out on the Feast of Stephen. So Feast of Stephen, right?
We told him no more singing.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go again.
Yeah, well, too bad, people. the 27th is St. John. The 28th is the Holy Innocents, the children slaughtered by Herod. The 29th, Thomas Becket of Canterbury. There's actually more, but just you look at those, and it's very telling, right, that what we get is sort of martyrs. St. John, like we've talked about before, he didn't actually die, but they did try to kill him. You get martyrs after Christmas that sort of remind us of like the sort of price and the cost and everything that leads up to Jesus Christ becoming incarnate. And it's like you said, those feasts in the practice of the church are a constant reminder that these 8 days are different. In a one way, they're really connected more than just eight sequential days.
Yeah, and earlier, Bo, you were talking about the contrast between the church's liturgical calendar and the way that our culture sometimes marks time. I think we can also think about this in relation to ancient civilizations. We forget how revolutionary it was that God's revelation, so the true God to the people of Israel, it broke from this idea that time was just cyclical, mm-hmm. that human life just repeated one thing after another. And it showed that history was moving towards a goal. Of course, with the coming of Christ, that idea is fulfilled or climaxed. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you crack open the catechism or say a papal encyclical or papal letter, it can feel like really hefty lifting, right? Like, I don't quite understand what's going on here. Some of the truths of the faith, some of the light, the wisdom that the church has given us, we can internalize these things, again, like I said, just by regularly attending Mass. This sort of like, this way of looking at time as God wants us to see it, it's built into the regular prayer and life of the church. So you don't have to read a 400-page tome to grasp it. We're habitual creatures, and so it's about cultivating the right habits.
This is the Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud. I think this is a great point. Sometimes when we are here on air and we're talking about things that honestly are both so simple that to talk about them it seems really complex, like time. Yeah. Few people actually think about time, but it's like one of those deals where if you ever like thought about a word too much and then you're like, whoa, radio, 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 and it starts to sound weird. Same thing with time. Time is so basic, no one thinks about it, but when you start to think about it, you can really start to sound like you're Jerry Garcia, like, time, man, what is time, bro? So
you were joking about the kids talking about time. Like, bring this up at your next party. Can I talk to you guys about time?
Yeah.
You want to talk about time for a while?
Heidegger or Augustine? And they're like, no, we don't. Leave. You can't be here anymore. Speaking of time, your time is done. No. But, Bud, your point is fantastic. Most of the things that the church wants to implant deep in your heart, you don't need a PhD to figure out. If you would just practice the church's liturgical time, most of these lessons will just be embedded deep within your heart, which is the way it should be. And this actually speaks the best point about what we're making here, is that civic time shapes you whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. You are shaped to think about waking up and working and consuming and going to bed and waking up and consuming and going to bed. And they decided, okay, we'll take this weekend from the Christians, because then you can have an opportunity to spend more and then compliantly go back to your job for 5 weeks. You see, there's a liturgy even in civic time. This is like James K.A. Smith, who's actually a Protestant who writes fantastic books. He makes this point. Everybody has liturgies.
Yeah.
Everybody arranges time. So it's not a matter of like, well, you can have liturgies and then we get back to real life. Friends, you will submit to a liturgy whether you know it or not. The question is, do you want to submit to the world's liturgy or the church's liturgy? And what I think Bud and I are trying to argue is that the liturgy of the church, other than it's not like a burden or even a personal thing, it's better for you. It is literally a gift to follow the contours of the church liturgy. To follow the contours of the civic liturgy is actually far more anxious, anxiety-building, depressing, difficult, energy-zapping. The church, with its idea of Sabbath and worship, and like I said, the contour of feast and fasting, it's just better for you.
So if you're looking for sort of a creative way to apply what we've been talking about today, Google traditions for Epiphany. So Epiphany falls this Friday, and there's this great tradition about using blessed chalk to write the initials of the wise men on your door mantle. But these sort of things, I don't know, but part of my goal as a father is I want my kids to know the date of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception more than they know, like, Black Friday falls the Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, we've, like you said, we've all been shaped by civic time, whether we know it or not. Let's start passing on the faith and organizing our children's time, our family's time, around the liturgical year.
Yeah, my goal as a father is just to make my kids weird. I want them to be weird and different because of the church. I want it when it, you know, in December when everybody else is like, I need to buy a new Pokemon or whatever their kids are buying these days. I have no clue. I want my kids to be like, it's St. Lucy's feast. Let's put candles on our head and light them on fire. That's pretty cool, right? I want them to think of, you know, like you said, January 6th. Everybody else is like, oh, January 6th, let's throw away the tree and put everything away. I want them to be like, time to write chalk with chalk on stuff. That is what makes life worth living, is to have these unique ways of being in the world instead of just being one cog in a machine. Well, friends, we're going to talk about this a little more. We have a great Moments in Church History for you, and then we'll close out the show because we're, ha ha ha, running out of time. Get it, bud? And so stick around for a minute, and we'll talk about this a bit more. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at cindyschulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Register now for the 2017 Catholic Women's Conference. It's February 25th. Don't miss this all-day event with three amazing speakers. Go to iowacatholicradio.com. $30 per person and includes lunch. The rosary begins at 7:30 a.m. and the program begins at 9:30 a.m. A wonderful opportunity to grow in your faith and to invite a friend. The Holy Spirit is the theme of the conference, with keynote speaker Father Cedric, special guest speakers Barbara Heil and Andy LaValle. Go to iowacatholicradio.com for more information.
Announcing the new Iowa Catholic Radio app. That's right. You can download the new free radio app onto your smartphone or your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime. Start your day and end your day listening to God-centered radio.
And now, great moments in church history.
The year, the 900s. The place, Bohemia. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. On the field, the snow lay round about, deep, crisp, and even.
The moon is shining brightly tonight, Kent, and the frost can't be described any other way but cruel. Wait a minute. A poor man just came into sight. He's gathering winter fuel.
Wenceslas called his page hither, and his scouting report had showed the yonder peasant was from a good league hence, from underneath a mountain by the forest fence near St. Agnes's fountain.
The good king is calling a new play, Joe. He's asking for flesh and wine, and pine logs too. Here they go, the page and monarch are walking forth through the rude wind's wild lament.
In the waning minutes of the drive, with his page's heart beginning to fail, it looked as if all three of the men were lost.
But the good king had one more play left to punch it home for the poor man.
Wenceslas has instructed his page to follow in his footsteps. Literally, Kent. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented. Heat is in the very sod which the saint had printed. They're going to make it to the poor men. They're feasting in the snow.
Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rake possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall find yourself blessing. This has been another great moment in church history.
That was pretty exciting, bud.
I love football in the snow. I was almost picturing Lambeau there when King Wenceslas was walking out.
Instead of like they have football anymore, it's always like in Arizona and stuff like this.
Yeah, and the turf is fake.
Yeah, I know that our bishop really likes the Vikings, which, I mean, is one other way that he's suffering for our diocese. But I was always bummed out when places like Minnesota get AstroTurf or the domes.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't your home court advantage like playing a negative 50 or something like that?
Well, the Vikings should take a card out of the Packers playbook, because I think the Packers in December and January are like 53-2 over the last 2 decades. So you invite, the Seahawks to Lambeau in January.
Right.
And they just can't handle it. So at least the Vikings need to at least find a way to retract that roof.
That's right. Poor Pete Carroll wearing his board shorts and negative 15
his
degrees.
His fragile chicken bones.
Well, so to wrap up on time, so we don't go too far afield, lambasting Pete Carroll, which is another side project of Bud Knight's. One of the other things with time is Iowa Catholic Radio, to plug ourselves, tries to do a good job of this as well. Starting your day is a good way to make time different than everyone else. So we talked about the Read the Bible in a Year, so 5 a.m. Shortly after that, it's followed by Gregorian chant up until the rosary at 5:30. We have the rosary often throughout the day. We try to have in Iowa Catholic Radio a sort of way in which we shape time as well. And I hope people can take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, when I converted to Catholicism, when I came into the Catholic Church, the rosary was a big part of that path. And maybe you feel like you can't commit to reading the entire Bible for the year. That feels like too much to bite off. And Bo, I've always felt like with spiritual disciplines, you should head towards something that's feasible. The rosary, of course, can be a great way to enter into the mysteries of the gospel. So the rosary itself, the 15 decades, are organized around these key points in our Lord's life and in his ministry. And so maybe if you're not feeling the Read the Bible in a Year thing, just tuning in to hear the rosary at 5:30 every day might be a great discipline.
When it comes down to it, folks, though, what we're called to do is to have the time of heaven, which of course is eternity. It's not a clock time, it's eternity, to help God with his goal, which is for eternity to break into the temporal order. And so really, you might not be a great speaker, you might not have a lot of money to donate, but one thing you can do is redeem the time. I forget who I'm plagiarizing here, but
St. Paul.
Yeah, redeeming the time is what we're called to do. And one of the ways to do that is to live your life according to the liturgical year, the liturgy of the church rather than the civic liturgy, or to do things like read the scriptures, pray the rosary. And when you do that, eternity breaks into time. That's it for us. Speaking of time, God bless all of you. May the peace of Christ, our King, reign in our hearts, in our families, in our cities, in our calendars, and in the entire world. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud. God bless. Till next time.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.